You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Connect Community. It is a new year, January 3rd. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
If this is your first time with us, my name is J.D. Miller, and this is my beautiful wife, Alini.
Muller. Yes, this is me.
It's you. So we thought today would be a good day for us to sit together, since it's the first of the year, and we're ending our parable series, and just share from our hearts to yours a few of the stories, a few of the faith moments that we've had in life that go in line with what we were talking about last week and some of our encouragement that we have for you this year as we begin to take steps toward a new year. There's always that thing, right? New year, new me.
I think
that 2020 has left us a little bit traumatized.
Yeah, you know, 2020... the expectations for 2020 were not up to par, or they did not really go the way we planned. So we thought, you know, let's do it different.
Yeah.
Let's share stories. Let's, you know, it is a gospel shared through storytelling. I mean, Jesus told stories.
That's right.
And so we want to build on that.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people watching right now who don't know what to make of a new year. So Christmas came, Christmas went.
Yes.
New Year's Day came.
And went.
And went. And we're still in lockdown.
Yeah.
We're still social distancing. It's like we flipped the page on the calendar.
But you didn't.
But some of the burns are still here.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that, right?
Well, I was talking to a friend about that. She was asking me what my goals and plans, because I'm a goal setter, plan setter person for the new year were. And I was like, it's really hard to set plans and goals.
Yeah.
If you don't really know what to expect from the year yet, because we're still, you know, waiting on vaccines and everything else. And so we don't know how much freedom we're going to have. But there are things, and here's what we've come to realize. There are things that it doesn't really matter what's happening out there.
Yes.
It is all about what's going on inside. Yes. And there are certain habits and rituals and maybe disciplines even that really are not affected by what's going on in the world. They're very inner, very personal. And I think that's what we've come to realize even in our walk with Jesus, that those things are not affected by the outside environment.
No. And I think that one of the things that we need to pay attention and kind of hone in our surroundings and even in our country is that the outside, you were talking about the outside world, right? So much of it depends on our perspective. So much of it works as it works because we believe in it and because we act as though that part of our society has integrity, that part of our society functions properly. And when we realize that it's not that, there's not that much integrity, there's corruption, there is sin, there's negativity, there is, you feel like the world is kind of like letting out from underneath you, like your foundations
are shifting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you feel like, where am I going to stand?
Yeah.
And two things I believe we need to understand. First is that there's more power within you than you think, because it's our collective ability to believe in something that actually gives it the special elements that it has.
The value, right?
The value, yeah. And secondly, is that the solid rock that Jesus said he is a much bigger idea than simply a personal faith or spiritual walk.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll speak for myself, right? In the beginning of all of this and with so many uncertainties, and we were in a process of transition ourselves when the lockdown went happened, but not for a split second did I feel like the world was crumbling.
Yeah.
You know, I've kind of sat back, and I mean, both of us, we get to come across a lot of people and a lot of stories and a lot of experiences, and we hear a lot. And a lot of people I found had their world shattered and really shaken, and they were in turmoil, and anxiety set in a way that you would have never thought, like, why? Like, nothing really happened except that they didn't lose their jobs. They didn't get sick. It was just the immediate shutdown made people cringe and fret in such a strong way that it was interesting to watch, because I don't know.
There's
a clear
difference.
Oh, my gosh.
Where your faith lies. If it lied in the system, it would be really hard.
If your security was your job, if your security was the country running or who was president or whatever, right? If your security lied on anything else outside of what we know as our foundation, Jesus, right? Yes. That he's the rock. If it lied on any of that, the anxiety took over.
Yeah.
Because that's
not to say this was not a traumatic experience.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It was difficult. Yeah. It was traumatic. But at the end of the day, there is an assurance.
Yeah.
When you serve Jesus, when he is your Lord and Savior, there is an assurance that not that everything will be okay, like not that everything is going to go smooth, not that you won't encounter troubles, not that you won't get the COVID. COVID won't hit you because you're a Christian. No, that's not it.
Yeah.
It is just that I have someone who is in control that's on my side.
Yeah.
It's
where your faith lies.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, God is still in control, and he did not lose control at any point.
I think for me personally, just reminiscing on the flow of the year, right? We come into March and the pandemic hit. The pandemic, I feel like as a church and as a family, it wasn't the worst of 2020, as bad as it was, and not to minimize the loss of life and none of that. But emotionally and in the challenges, it wasn't the worst of 2020. It was when the social unrest around racism became heightened, and when the political division leading up to the election became so, so intense that it caused tension amongst relationships. It caused division in families. And all of that produced a kind of distrust in everything around us, including people.
Solid relationships were shaken.
To where if you have a different perspective on a small element, you are immediately added to a group of people, and you are attributed the entirety of their sins because of one small...
Yeah, if you don't agree on everything, you're against me.
Yes.
It's like, if you don't see things exactly...
Entirely,
exactly. Not even like every dot, every cross, everything.
Yes.
Like, if you don't see exactly the way I do, then you are not on my side,
and
you're not for me.
Yes.
And you're immediately against me.
And that kind of polarization and that kind of overarching group mentality is not the way of the gospel.
Well, and it's like, since when do we, I mean, even in marriage, we don't agree, don't see eye to eye on everything. We don't see the world exactly the same. We're different people. Yeah. We have different opinions. And it's okay to bring in different perspectives and to wrestle with conversations and to learn from one another.
Yes.
We
yes.
wouldn't have the beauty that is this world if we didn't have differences. And it's like, we have to all be the same.
Yeah, the differences are the things that enrich us.
Yes, right? Like,
as long as the problem is when differences are perceived as some form of weapon.
Yeah.
Which is the vast majority of the cases, it's just not true. And the reason I bring that up is because for us, followers of Christ, your foundation is not on a world ideology. Your foundation is not on a political perspective. Your foundation is not on a group mentality. Your foundation is in the scriptures.
Yeah.
This is your guiding principle. Your relationship with God is what leads and what forms your morality. It's what forms the value that you ascribe to people.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no other worldview that gives proper value to human life and proper value to the way you treat others than the scripture. So we stand here. We don't stand with any other ideology or political party. And I'm kind of entering 2021 satisfied somewhat and proud of our church, proud of our people for the level of togetherness and mutual support and how we were able to navigate those months and those seasons of intense emotional stress.
Yeah. I mean, not that we're completely over it or done, but I think
there's a little bit more muscle in our bones.
Yeah, and we're in this together, right? Yeah. We're in this together, and I think part of the conversation today is to also talk about how this plays out day to day.
Yeah.
How do we walk into 2021?
Yes.
With the uncertainties of 2021, yeah. With the, you know, the distance even, like yeah. as we are still a little bit distant from each other. I think yes. there's such a powerful aspect that has gone buried in 2020, right? With the social distance. Like yeah. we do not yet realize how impacting this actually is to not be day to day with people and rubbing shoulders and having face to faces and conversations. Like it is so integral to the gospel,
yeah.
but it also integral to creation and how yes. we were made to live in community yes. with one another.
Yes, there's a reason why God ordained celebrations, 7 of them yeah. every year. There's a reason why people had to gather at the temple. There's a reason why Jesus taught in the synagogues. There's a reason why in Hebrews, the scripture says to not forsake the assembly. There's a reason why in church in Acts, they were gathering in houses daily.
Yeah.
Daily and breaking bread.
Breaking bread daily. And sharing everything.
It makes a difference.
It does.
The presence of the body, your members, and you submitting your body to community and communion has a huge, huge effect on all other areas of your life, emotional, yeah. spiritual, relational. Yeah.
So there's that component now. And so we are talking today about, as we are still in this transition, right, we don't want to put anybody in harm's way. And we're going to continue to gather every other week
yes.
To make sure everybody is safe and healthy. Yes. We will do what we can. But in the process, what do you do in the process as it pertains to your relationship with God? And how does that play out? How do we continue to grow? It is important to not remain stagnant, but to grow.
Yes.
In the midst of all of this. And so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about, you know, moments in our lives yes. that produced substantial growth
yes.
and maybe transition and page turners yes. and how those came about.
So to close this series and give you a foundation for what we're going to share in this second part, we want to read a parable found in Luke chapter 13, verse 18, I believe. And this is what Jesus shared. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. He continued, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened.
Some people may be asking, what is leavened?
Leaven. That's right. Leaven is the effect that leaven has on flour.
No.
Which is yeast, right?
Yeast.
It's the effect that yeast
has on flour.
Which is, in the scriptures, called leaven. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
A little bit of yeast leavens
the whole bread. Grows? Bread.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It has an effect on it, right? That's
yeah.
the main lesson here. And I think that this is, in a practical sense, because we're going to get practical, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a practical sense, this is crucial and central to how you activate the gospel and you activate your life with Christ. I think that a lot of times we stay stuck in the theory of it.
it's not religion. People get stuck in religion, right? Yeah. They get stuck in theories of things, and they don't put into the daily practice what it looks like, like the
day-to-day.
And
even when they do, the practice is not done from an authentic place in your heart. It's done from, this is what I should do because it's what somebody else told me to do.
Yeah.
Right. So what is Jesus talking about here when he talks about a small seed that grows into a big tree? What is he talking about when he's talking about a small measure of leaven or yeast into three measures of flour?
I'll explain it with a story. Okay. How I see it, how I understand it. Yeah. So I remember being a teenager, and I had just reconnected with God. I was about 17 years old, and I was reconnecting with God. And I had these moments where I would be in my room by myself.
I remember those days.
Yes, you came back into my life then.
I was there already.
I would spend these times in my room just worshiping, or you know, have worship on and praying, and I remember one night where I felt like I needed to pray on my knee. Now, there wasn't a big anything. It wasn't a message that I heard. It wasn't anything like that. I was just in my room talking to God, and I felt like I should get on my knees. And so I did. I got on my knees, and I started to pray, and I had this very, very strong moment where I felt impressed in my heart to pray for my grandmother.
Wow.
Now, I did not like my grandmother, to put it lightly. I knew of everything she had done to my father, and my father had a really very, very tough upbringing, very abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive, all kinds of. So she was known as a she devil in my house. But I had this moment where God was calling me to pray for her, and I felt it. I just felt it inside, and I was like, God, I couldn't. And I remember this whisper, right? This internal conversation where he said, who are you not to forgive her? And I was like, I had this moment like, what do you mean?
Wow.
You know, and I just felt this and like, who are you? If I forgave you, how can you not forgive her?
Wow.
Now, had I done terrible things in my life? No. But the conviction in that moment of God's forgiveness of my sin just broke me down, and I'm on my knees just talking to God. And that one little moment, that one little whisper that said, who are you not to forgive her, just broke years of pain, years of unforgiveness, years of memories. It just kind of broke internally where I was like,
wow,
you are right. Who am I? And so I had this moment, right? A little bit, changed the course of my whole relationship with her. Mm. Because, I mean, mind you, I didn't have a relationship with her, but when I moved to Brazil back and before we got married, I was able to actually sit at her table and have conversations with her and invite her to my wedding and all the things that I don't know if I would have been able to do. And since she's passed, but I feel free.
Yeah.
Because I let her go. Like, there wasn't this unforgiveness in my heart anymore, and in my family and my children. And, you know, all these things that I had carried for so long was like a little moment of just listening to a whisper that said, get on your knees and pray for your grandmother.
Wow.
That's all I heard.
Wow.
You know,
and that's
how I see it.
When you look at the scripture, right, and you talk about a small seed that grows into a big tree.
Yeah.
You had a small seed moment.
Yeah, seed moment.
Where God said, go into your room and get on your knees.
Get on your knees.
Small seed.
That's it.
It's a small prompt.
Yeah, and it's not, and like nothing falls from the sky.
Yeah, no.
You don't hear it audibly. It's not that. It's an internal dialogue
It wasn't a viral video on your Instagram reel that were like, I want to do that right now.
No, it wasn't that. And it was not a powerful message.
It was
nothing.
It was a Holy Spirit-led moment.
Holy Spirit moment.
With a small seed.
Small seed. That's how I see, you know, when paint a picture, that's how I see.
And then you got on your knees, and then forgiveness of years of abuse on your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Years of you carrying the burden.
Deferred offense, right?
Deferred offense, yeah.
Years.
Carrying the burden of your dad's pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have carried that onto our children. That forgiveness, that level of forgiveness, that's a big tree.
It is a big tree.
That's a big tree that others now can nest on, that lesson of forgiveness.
Well, but the thing that people don't speak about forgiveness, right? We think of forgiveness as pardoning other people for whatever they've done. And that's not it. Forgiveness set me free. I remember from that moment on the weight being lifted. Like, we don't realize how much weight we carry around when we carry people in our hearts with unforgiveness like that.
Yes.
We carry it. It's heavy. It is not meant to be there. And so that moment, I believe, not only broke something in, you know, heavenly speaking, but it broke something in my life, a release that happened, and I was lighter and I was able to interact with my family in different ways, which I'm sure would affected my children and my children's children, you know, because unforgiveness has that. It traps you.
Yes.
And it traps how you behave and how you relate to other people.
Yes. I too remember a story. It happened back in 2014, so a little bit more recent. Still almost 7 years ago.
Time flies.
Yeah. And we had moved to Connecticut, June of 13. So we had been going, trying to meet people, trying to build this thing, trying to get traction in church planting. And I remember we hit the ground running and we were like, we're going to send resumes everywhere. Whoever gets hired first gets that job. And the other person kind of works the connections for the church.
And holds down the fort with
and
Maya.
Holds down the fort with Maya. Yeah, because Maya
had
was
Maya.
She was three. When we moved. So she was about to be three.
At this point, about three.
Yeah, because she's from 11. So, you got a job at Equinox. And this is February of 14, and we probably have one couple that was willing. One couple.
Yes, we found one couple.
John and Christy Knudsen.
Yes.
Who were like,
we're with you.
We believe in this idea. We met him in October.
Yeah.
And we were trying to connect with other people. I went to so many meetings and so many random things, just trying to meet people. Stanford Chamber of Commerce was one. You know, there was these guys that used to meet on Fridays. I used to go there.
Everything.
Just random things.
Any place he could meet people, he was there.
I went to Toastmasters.
I know. You know, I know.
To meet people.
Everywhere.
The idea of planting a church was odd for so many people.
The question we would always get is, why?
Why? Yeah. I remember sitting at breakfast with somebody, right? And this guy walks in the breakfast spot. And he calls him and says, hey, come on over here. It was a by chance happenstance, right? And the guy comes over to our table and he's standing at our table. And my friend says, hey, I need you to meet this guy. This is JD. JD is here from Texas and he's trying to build something really awesome. And I think both of you kind of have a similar goal. And I said, oh, really? What do you do? And he said, oh, I'm a personal coach, like a success coach type of person, right? I try to lead people to have a better life. And what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. We're planting a church in Stamford, Connecticut. Immediately, his face changed. He's like, really? Well, that's ambitious, given the fact that churches are closing here so fast. Well, good luck with that.
Encouraging.
He walks off entirely against it, right? Completely against
it. I guess it's not similar.
We had a lot of that. Yeah, because you come from Texas, everybody's nice in the surface. Yeah. Everybody's encouraging in the surface. And most people mean it. But here, there's no need for surfaces.
No, there's
and
no
I'm
surface.
I'm still getting used to that, right? I'm still getting used to that. Now we laugh at that and go like, yeah.
Whatever.
Fine. But I remember that. And I remember that being a difficult season in my heart. And I'm sitting on our couch in the living room. And it's just one of those moments where you wrestle with God. You wrestle with God in your heart. And let me just tell you, it's okay for you to wrestle with God in moments of doubt.
Yes. Please
it's
do
not,
it.
It's not that doubt is overtaking your heart. It's that when thoughts that question you, you're not perfect.
No.
You don't make every decision right.
No.
And sometimes you're going to have moments of questioning. But don't do it.
Preach.
Don't have moments of questioning in self-doubt. Have moments of questioning in God's presence. Connected to the truth. Connected to your guide, to your light. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. And you got to be connected to Him.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing. I was in prayer, sitting on my couch and going, like, God, did we make a mistake?
Did we hear you wrong?
Did we miss it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have sent us here and then we missed something.
Mm-hmm.
And now things are not flowing. Here we are. Like, our savings are draining. My wife is working at a fitness company, which was a
good company,
job.
Just not where I was supposed to be.
And we met a couple. I mean, praise God for the couple, but we're 7 months in.
But you don't build
in.
A church on one couple.
We're 7 months in. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And at that moment, I promise you, at that moment, in that moment when I'm praying and I'm wrestling with God, my daughter, who is 2.5, almost 3 at the time, comes from the 3rd floor in our townhome where I had my books.
Like, a lot of books.
I had 2 shelves full of books.
Full.
She comes and brings this random book, throws it on my lap and says, here, Dad, read this. I'm not going to tell you what the book is. You have to see it. This is the book. I was that guy, okay? I was this guy right here, hanging with one hand going like, God, did we make a mistake? I'm about to fall.
Look, I can...
Don't quit. Your faith will see you through.
I think God is funny.
Oh.
God is funny. He is so funny because... It's like, signs don't fall from heaven, but books do.
No. But I tell you, small seed.
Small seed.
This was a moment.
Oh, man.
This was a moment that I will remember forever.
Mm-hmm.
When God used my beautiful, innocent, awesome 2.5-year-old daughter in a prophetic way and say, don't quit. And look at us.
Yeah.
We're going on 6 years as a church community. So many people have found Christ here. So many people have grown. We are a growing community in Stamford, Connecticut, and there are dozens of us now.
Mm-hmm.
Dozens, if not hundreds.
It's not 2 couples.
From 2 to dozens.
Hey! You know,
we're going to continue to grow.
Mustard seed.
Well,
moments.
This is such a transient place, right? Yeah. I was counting how many people moved from our community here, and we have people on 11 states. In America, 11 states, we have people that were part of Connect Community and moved because of the transiency.
Yeah.
So the fact that we were able to connect to all these people, we have people overseas. We have people in the Cayman Islands. We have people in South Africa.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
The point is, we want to share with you these stories because we want you to know how normal and how common almost this relationship is. It's not only for pastors and it's not only for leaders or people that are meant to work in the church. It's for everybody daily. Every day, God is always trying to speak to us.
Yes. Remember, God is here.
Mm-hmm.
He's not out there in a magical space. He's not at the end of the rainbow. He's not in this miraculous, amazing, huge environment. Right now, He is here. Yeah. And by here, I mean where you are.
Yeah.
In your home. He is here.
Yes, He is here. God is in your everyday life with you. And I have another story that I want to share because it was so personal. When we felt the call, when we were in Houston and we felt like the season was shifting and we felt like God was about to take us into a new transition. Mm-hmm. And like everybody who is in transition, you are looking everywhere and questioning everything. You're like, I feel like something has to change. I feel like my time... As you should.
Yeah.
I feel like my time on this job is over. I feel like this relationship is over. Whatever it is, right? You're in transitioning and you're looking and you're okay. And you don't really know for certain until you know some things. You usually know the no before you know the yes. Let me explain that. So we are in this transition time and we're feeling it and we're praying and we're seeking God. And an opportunity arose for JD and I to be campus pastors at another local church. Mm-hmm. Now, we were at Lakewood, and we loved Lakewood with all our hearts. And to leave Lakewood, the only way we would leave that church is if God was telling us to go somewhere. Yeah. That was it. Like, there was no other reason we would ever leave.
There was no animosity.
There was no reason to leave except a God calling to do something else. Yeah. So you don't go away from things. You go towards things, right? Yeah. You don't leave just for the sake of leaving. You leave because God is calling you to do something. And so we were praying. And so this opportunity to be campus pastors came up, and we were having the conversations. And to be very, very honest, I wanted it. I wanted it because it meant that we would move homes to a better area, a better location in town. It meant that we would live in a community that was better schools. It had a lot to do with comfort and with school system security. And with security. Comfort and security were the prime words. Comfort and security for me personally. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of set on it. I was even looking at houses in the neighborhood because I was like, maybe we can rent before we buy and blah, blah, blah. So I'm, you know, wanting to go and we're having these conversations. And one night I was in the shower and I was talking to God. And I remember, again, those whisper moments. I was in the shower and I felt God whisper to my heart, why do you want to go there? And I said, well, I want to go there because it's good school, because it's a nice church, because I think we could, you know, it's a good place to be, blah, 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 blah. And all I said was, I. And then I remember God whisper in my heart again and say, what about the people? Do you even care? Mm. Can I just say that at that moment, the mirror flashed in my face, and I saw how selfish and how self-centered I was in that entire decision. It was a little whispered question, do you even care about the people? And I knew at that moment that that door was going to close. I knew it. In the moment, I was just like, this is not where we're supposed to be. It's not about what the call to serve God and the call to be pastors has to be about the people, not about you. It is not about you. God will take care of you in the process, but it is about the people. And in that moment, I felt so vividly and so sure that that was not where we needed to be, and that door was going to close. And we had heard nothing back from them.
Yes.
For all we knew, it was going in the right direction. Everything was about, you know, was going to happen. It was going good. And then I knew, I was like, this is going to close. And I said,
I remember that season.
And I said, I think I remember telling you, like, this is not going to happen.
We were already thinking about Connecticut. That's how that job came to play.
Yeah, because we were thinking there was transition coming. Yeah, we knew this,
we
right?
We had already gone to the ARC training.
Yeah.
And we were already considering Connecticut. But it was such a huge change to uproot our whole family from a place that took 10 years for us to build a long friendship.
And to move without family.
No one. Your parents were in Houston. Your sister's in Houston. And we're all now having kids, and we had so many friends at church. Yeah, so when Maya was born, there were 16 other couples on staff with us at church who had kids. So 16 babies were growing up together every day, and the church provided free daycare. Lakewood Church really took care of its employees. We had about 400 employees, and so now we're in this place where, well, if we go to Connecticut, we basically leave everything. But if we go to the Woodlands, we're down the street.
Yeah, it was comfort. It was comfort and security. Yeah. But I remember very clearly, again, another mustard seed moment, right? Yeah. A moment where I was just talking to God, and I remember the impression and the door shutting in my heart. So we hadn't even heard back from them. We hear back that weekend and the door had shut, and I wasn't even mad about it because I knew it didn't hurt my heart. And here's the other thing I want to point out. God is kind.
Yes.
He is very kind. Had he closed that door before speaking to my heart, before talking to me, I probably would have been hurt.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, God, really? Like, you know, couldn't you make this happen? I would have been upset. I could have thought it was us. Yes. You know, they just didn't want us, or many, many things. Many. But God is so kind that he goes ahead and he prepares your heart.
Yeah.
I have story after story of God preparing my heart or speaking to me in dreams or speaking through different people where I knew before things were coming, I kind of had this sense or this feeling already, or he was preparing my heart for pain that was around the corner, or, you know, just moments. moments where God just intervenes because he is kind. Yes. Can we never forget that he is good and he is kind and he wants to be as involved in our lives as we will allow him to?
Yeah. Do you remember what accelerated our process to move here to Connecticut?
The other prayer?
No.
No.
You don't remember?
The checklist?
No. You guys remember that Alini said, God asked, what about the people?
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the loft, which is a room in our church in Houston where youth and young adults used to meet. And we were preparing for this campaign that we used to do every November. And news broke of the shooting in Newtown.
It was December 15th.
Yeah.
I remember it happening. We were at the apartment. We had already sold our house. Yeah. And I remember it happening. And I was hugging Maya so tightly because every parent who had a five-year-old, you know, younger, was cringing at that. And I was hugging her so tightly and feeling the pain of the family members. And JD looks at me and he says, why are we not there?
Yes.
Why aren't we there?
I remember that feeling of, I just wanted to be here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be here in Connecticut and be here with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never remember that. And that was just another stamp of where, right? Where God.
And that was the moment where God really made it clear in our hearts. Because sometimes compassion will lead you. You know, it's important for you to notice, like, where is God's favor guiding you? And compassion will lead you toward his will. Remember that Jesus was moved by compassion. If you read the stories of Jesus, he was moved by compassion. What is that? Is the Holy Spirit moving him through compassion. And that was a moment where we were led by compassion. Compassion moved us.
Yeah.
And we were like, we just got to be there.
Since we couldn't be there, remember, we started a bear drive.
Yeah, we started a
We started teddy bear a drive. Teddy bear drive for at the Lakewood. Families at Lakewood.
And we shipped it up here. Yeah. I have another story.
Share it.
I have the last story we're going to share with you, just to, you know, paint the picture of small seeds and a little bit of leaven that kind of changes everything. We were in Houston. So a little bit a while ago, we had just gotten to Houston, and I'm trying to find a job, right? Just landed in town, don't know anybody, another God move.
Right, yes, a whole other story. But no English.
Very little English.
Okay, yet. Ordering a number one at McDonald's is not English. No English.
You don't even need to worry, just do this. And I'm trying to hustle to get a job old school way, right? This is 2003.
Yeah. Before Indeed.
There's no Indeed.com. There's no monster.com. There's no .com.
No,
really?
No, it was, I don't know.
Not in that sense.
I don't know what was happening.
We're talking Windows XP days.
No,
right?
We're talking green sheet.
Yes. Looking at the classified posts on the newspaper. And ads and filling in applications and driving through neighborhoods looking for the help wanted sign.
Filling out applications.
And I had been doing that day after day after day. I'm knocking on doors. I'm walking in cold, walking into businesses and going, hey, do you need any help? Need anybody? Submitting job applications and nothing, no bites, nothing was happening. And I remember we had hit bottom financially. We had hit bottom in our options and trying to make connections. I remember I had $5 cash in my wallet. And we had very little food in our pantry. The refrigerator was empty. I remember a bag of popcorn in that pantry. Remember that apartment on Cypresswood?
I remember that night.
Cypresswood Drive.
While you're in the story, I have a piece that was happening at home while you were... Go.
So I had just gone out all day looking for work. And I come home mid-afternoon. And it's church night at Lakewood Church. We had just gotten connected to church. And it was Wednesday night. I had been rehearsing in the choir. So I had an option. I had to take that $5 from my wallet and go put gas in the car to go look for a job the next day. or I get that $5, put gas in the car, and go worship at the church.
Yeah. And mind you, everything in Houston will use the $5.
Yeah.
Because everything is so spread out. Yeah.
Yeah. Gas was cheap back then. Yeah. It was $1.13.
Yeah.
I remember. But I had to drive 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was far away. And Lakewood is still meeting in the East Side building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the choir. So I'm like, I either go sing in the choir for the very first time, or I go look for a job tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in the living room, battling with this, and just in my heart, in the whole conviction, just feeling God saying, come meet me.
Mm-hmm.
Come meet me. And I remember looking at you and saying, I'm going to church. And you didn't come with me that
day. I didn't. I stayed home. So yeah. You went to church.
Yeah.
I stayed home. And I, look, in all of our time here, I've never called his parents. Just really interesting. I've never called to ask for anything for help. I don't know. It's just not my personality. I don't know. Never called. But that night,
yeah,
I called them. And not so much to ask for help, but I needed
pastors.
Their pastors, yeah, in Brazil. They were my pastor when we left. I needed their faith.
Mm.
I needed what they carried. They carry this yeah, like, they're rocks,
their
man.
Life
they're
of
just
prayer,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I called them, I didn't say anything. I just said, I just need to hear, like, I need, yeah, to hear them. I needed their faith. I needed them to pray for us. So I'm at home,
yeah,
just kind of, you know, praying, talking to his parents and praying, because I don't even know. And he heads out to church.
So I go to church and I'm praying the whole time there. I'm just, God, I trust you, God, you know, just giving God our heart or my heart. And get to church, I get to put on the choir robe.
Yes.
And we practice, we lead worship. It was phenomenal. It was God's presence was there. But I remember back in those days, Miss Dodie Osteen, Pastor Joel's mom, would come on stage and do a little encouragement piece, kind of like what Victoria does now.
Mm-hmm.
And she would pray for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, she comes up, she encourages. I'm sitting to her right side. And she says, I feel strongly in my spirit here that somebody here needs a job. And you're in desperation. And God is telling you that he's going to give you a job. And I just remember it hit me so strong.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, this word is for me. Mm-hmm. Now, 14 other people got up. So I was like, it's not for them.
It's for me.
I'm sorry, guys. You're going to, yeah, be jobless this week.
Maybe he brought all the people that needed jobs that night.
Maybe,
he brought them
in. But I knew it was for me. If anybody was getting a job, it was me. I just took a hold of that word.
Mm-hmm.
And I get emotional right now just thinking about it, because it was such a tender God caring for us moment. We left everything and we were in Houston, Texas, seeking God. We didn't move there for work. We didn't move there for financial opportunity. We moved there because
we felt
the call of God.
And another mustard seed moment.
Yes.
Another whisper.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm in church where God called us to be, right? And he's saying, I'm going to provide for you. And I'm like, amen. So I get in the car full of faith and I drive home and I'm on the highway. And the highway systems in Houston were somewhat complicated. Now I have them in my head, but they were somewhat complicated to navigate. And we didn't have Google Maps. There was no smartphones back then. This is, yeah, pre-iPhone, guys. We're talking like, I had a Razer Motorola probably.
This was almost 20 this years is, ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, this was before Razer Motorola.
Yeah.
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 So I'm driving home with one of those key maps. I don't know if you had this here in Connecticut, but in Houston, we had these big, thick key maps where you could look at. And I'm looking at the highways and go like, okay, this is what I gotta do. And the particular exit to get to our apartment was an exit that I would take all the time. The highway systems in Houston are complex, but they get you everywhere. So there was this one exit that was our exit every time. And I don't know what happened that night, but I missed my exit. And I got off on the wrong exit and I ended up circling back from the highway that I was supposed to get on. And I remember being in this back street and looking through the passenger window and seeing the highway over there and thinking, I got to get there. And there's this big AMC parking lot, the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just going to cut through this because I can get on the feeder on that side and get on that highway. That's what I'm going to do. As I cut through the parking lot, there's this restaurant, Yangjing Chinese restaurant, saying drivers needed. And I'm like, this is it. I walked in, filled in an application. By the time I got home, they called me. And I started working the next day. I made $85 in tips that one day. Mm-hmm. Went straight to the grocery store. Our pantry was full. Our fridge was full. God was faithful. That it wasn't fun. A professional office job.
No.
It wasn't anything magnanimous, but it was what God used to provide for
if
us.
He
we were young kids, man.
Well, look, that I always remember that passage. He feeds the bird in the air.
Yes.
That he clothes the lilies of the valley.
Right.
Will he not
That's
care
right.
for you?
It I is have just, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread.
The kindness of God.
Yes.
The kindness of God
is faithful.
He is faithful. He is
faithful.
Kind. He shows up.
But it was that seed moment on
but
the
it's
couch.
This, yes, it's the moment
God
that you
saying,
listen.
Come meet me. And I could have thought, I could have thought, this is irresponsible.
Yeah.
This is, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. You have to listen.
Yes.
Can I, like... You have to be quiet enough to listen.
Yeah.
I think what happens today is that we get so busy and every spare moment we have, we're either on the phone or something else electrical or something has to be turned on all the time, that you don't get quiet enough to listen to these whispers.
Yes.
I think there's a theme in these stories, right? It was moments where we were still. And just listen and quiet and allowing God to speak to us. And then you have these little promptings and you follow them.
Yes.
And the more you follow them, the more you begin to recognize the voice of God.
The voice of God.
It's little. He won't start telling you to move countries.
No.
He won't start there. He will start with, hey,
Go to your room.
Get on your knees.
Get on your knees. Yes.
When I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Like moments.
Yeah. Come meet me. Yeah.
Come speak to me. He will start with that. And you begin to then recognize his voice. Hear Dad read this, right? You begin to recognize and hear his voice, and then you know when he's speaking to you, and it makes making decisions a lot easier when you know.
Yes.
But it's these little moments, and our encouragement to you with all these stories is that will you make 2021 the year where you take time to listen to God?
Yes. We want to encourage you to engage this year. Begin the year by making the decision to engage. Are you going to engage in your relationship with God? Are you going to act? Starting next Sunday, we're going to begin a 14-day fast and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage you to get in on that. It's one way for you to disconnect from everything else in the world and connect to God. Somebody said this, and I love this definition, that while prayer connects us to God, fasting disconnects us from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do that every year at the beginning of the year. So we're going to spend 14 days. Why 14? Because we want to start together and end together. Otherwise, it would have been 21 like last year. But we want to start together on the 10th and end together on the 24th with our Vision Sunday. So let's start together, praying together on Sunday in person next week, starting our prayer and fasting. And let's connect to God and disconnect from the world. Connect to God and disconnect from the world. What does it mean to disconnect from the world? Are you going to disconnect from your family, from your job? No, you're going to disconnect from the trappings of the world, from the anxieties of the world, from the worries of the world, from the sin in the world, from the enemy's plan for your life in the world. And you're going to connect to God. What? God's goodness, God's mercy, God's plan, God's love, God's hope for your life. Let's do that together. And I believe that 2021 will be a year that will be life-changing, transformative, and that you will connect to God like never before.
Amen.
Amen. Let's lead people to Jesus. If this is your first time watching or you haven't made a decision to follow Christ yet, and you've been with us, I want to encourage you to do that right now. You can start with a simple prayer. This is a step. Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. And I want to lead you in that prayer right now. Wherever you might be, whether you're listening to this on a podcast or you're watching this on your computer or living room TV, wherever you might be, this is the day of salvation, Scripture says. And let me encourage you to repeat this prayer with me with a sincere heart and offer your heart to God. With your hand to your heart and your eye closed if you can, pray after me. Say, Dear God,
come into my heart.
I give you my past,
my present,
and my future.
And my future.
Jesus, be my Lord.
Jesus,
be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and guide me from this day forward. Be my light.
Be my light.
Be my guide.
Be my
Lord.
Be my Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Listen, with a simple prayer, we believe something new began in your heart. Let me encourage you to come back as often as you can, especially in our in-person services. Stay connected to Connect Community, and we believe the best is yet ahead of you because now you're beginning this walk with God. Hey, listen, we're excited for next week because we're starting a brand new series. It's our 2021 series. What is it titled?
Soul Rehab.
Soul Rehab. That's right. We're going to focus on, I feel like, after 2020, we all need a soul rehab.
We all need rehab.
That's right.
Gotta work our muscles.
That's right. So we're going to share some messages that will strengthen your soul for a new year. Are you a little bit lost, a little bit disconnected, not sure how you're going to take this new year, new me? I don't know if it works for 2021, JD. I didn't even sign up for a gym. Come on.
Come on.
Yes, it's a new year and God has amazing things in your life. Come next week for part one of Soul Rehab. Until then, we love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He shine His face upon you and may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Peace.
We love you.